This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Iraq's election campaign has begun. More than 80 electoral blocs and alliances have registered slates of candidates. They are running for a 275-member National Assembly in voting scheduled to take place on January 30th. The campaign may be underway, but Iraqis are still uncertain of how this election will work. They are also worried about how safe it will be to vote, given the current level of violence in the country. Yet American civilian and military officials are projecting a feeling of confidence. NPR's Mike Schuster has more.
It looked like the first day of Iraq's election campaign might be peaceful, until the late afternoon when an explosion ripped through a wall of the shrine of the Imam Hussein in the Shiite city of Karbala, 50 miles south of Baghdad. The bomb killed 10 people and injured an important aide to Iraq's senior cleric, Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, who has been an unwavering advocate of elections in Iraq since the day Saddam Hussein fell. Sunni Arab insurgents are suspected of carrying out the bombing. Karbala and the other predominantly Shiite cities in southern Iraq have been largely free of violence since last spring. The Karbala blast followed two powerful suicide car bombs that exploded earlier this week in Baghdad. It is violence like this that concerns Iraqis planning to vote. Major General Peter Corelli, who commands the U.S. Army's 1st Cavalry Division and has responsibility for Baghdad, says he expects the level of violence in the capital to diminish as preparations for the election proceed.
I'm not saying it won't be without violence. It will be difficult to make that happen. But I can tell you, I think the security situation in Baghdad at the end of January is going to be much better than the security situation in Baghdad today.
General Chiarelli says the single most difficult weapon to defend against is the suicide car bomb. The military has established a hotline for Iraqis to call if they want to share information about insurgent activities, and General Chiarelli says about a quarter of the tips prove useful in combating the attacks. But that means the U.S. may know nothing about most of the attacks. Still, General Chiarelli says he believes the mood among Iraqis is improving steadily.
One of the things we're looking at all the time is the atmospherics, how we're accepted by the people. We feel that a lot is changing. We're seeing a lot more positive atmospherics in talking with people as we walk the streets and get out and talk to Iraqis. That, along with the number of attacks, kind of give us a feel for how things are going.
The Shiite neighborhoods of Baghdad, like the Shiite cities in the south, are far safer than many other parts of the city. Sadr City is a sprawling sum of 2.5 million people, mostly Shiites, on Baghdad's east side. There have been no attacks there since early October, and Sadr City's religious and political leaders are urging all residents to vote. U.S. patrols in Sadr City are frequent. The mood has improved since August and September, when Shiite militiamen were in open revolt against the U.S. presence. There's still plenty of anti-American graffiti written on the walls and the occasional rock thrown at army patrols. But Colonel Abe Abrams, commander of the 1st Cav's 1st Brigade Combat Team, says the interaction with U.S. forces has improved.
Is the U.S. presence in Sadr City tolerated or welcomed by the people now?
I think you'll see a little of both. It depends upon what sector you're in. In the southern third of the city, I'd say overwhelmingly welcome. In other parts of the city, particularly in the north, you'll probably get a mixture of welcome and toleration.
Outside of Baghdad, especially to the north and west, in the Sunni towns and cities, the situation deteriorates significantly. Some Sunni parties have registered to take part in the election, but it's hard at this stage to assess how strong or representative they are. The U.S. government has been trying to build up local councils in these areas to put power in the hands of community leaders and give them a stake in the upcoming election. The head of the U.S. Agency for International Development, Andrew Natsios, visited Iraq a few days ago and acknowledged the insurgency was making that job difficult.
We have had instances where the insurgents have been assassinating some of the local officials because they see the threat. If the new democratic elite in the country succeeds in the elections, which I believe they will next month, then the insurgency is eventually going to fade away.
If the Sunni turnout is low, as some political leaders here fear, it could be a boost to the insurgency and raise the question, how can a new government assert its control over a region of Iraq that may not recognize it as legitimate? Mike Schuster, NPR News, Baghdad.